Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 15 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in several languages are available to you all the time and anytime at the website twr360.org. Thousands are logging onto the site for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Last week, on Hope for Today, we began studying from Daniel chapter 8. The title of our study was Kingdoms in Succession. This is the account of Daniel's more detailed vision of the empires of Medo-Persia and Greece. As we began our study, we were looking at some of the historical background to this chapter and Daniel's vision. We also were introduced to the powerful ram that Daniel saw in this vision, and the advance of this ram was irresistible. And that was as far as we were able to go on last week's broadcast. Now to resume our study, I will read from the text, Daniel chapter 8 and verses 1 to 14, and we'll learn more about this powerful ram. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, after the one that appeared to me the first time. I saw in the vision, and it so happened while I was looking, that I was in Shushan, the citadel, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in the vision that I was beside the river Ulai. Then I lifted my eyes and saw, and there, standing beside the river, was a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, and southward, so that no animal could withstand him, nor was there any that could deliver from his hand, but he did according to his will, and became great. And as I was considering, suddenly, a male goat came from the west, across the surface of the whole earth without touching the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. Then he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing beside the river, and ran at him with furious power. And I saw him confronting the ram. He was moved with rage against him, attacked the ram, and broke his two horns. There was no power in the ram to withstand him, but he cast him down to the ground and trampled him, and there was no one that could deliver the ram from his hand. Therefore, the male goat grew very great, but when he became strong, the large horn was broken, and in place of it, four notable ones came up toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came a little horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. And it grew up to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and some of the stars to the ground and trampled them. He even exalted himself as high as the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifices were taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Because of transgression, an army was given over to the horn to oppose the daily sacrifices, and he cast truth down to the ground. He did all this and prospered. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to that certain one who was speaking, "How long will the vision be concerning the daily sacrifices and the transgression of desolation, the giving of both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot?" And he said to me, "For 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed." These opening verses become the stage for the great drama that is unfolded in Daniel's vision, and that's the conquests of the second and the third empires. In verse 3, Daniel introduces the Medo-Persian kingdom as represented by a ram with two horns. John MacArthur states that the Hebrew text is emphatic in designating this single ram. You and I know that normally sheep and goats come in flocks, but this is a single ram. This kingdom corresponds to the breast of silver in the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream in chapter 2, and it also corresponds to the image of the bear Daniel saw in his vision in chapter 7. And remember, that bear Daniel saw was raised up on one side, signifying that side was more powerful than the other side. Now, again, remember that horns symbolize power. So not only does this ram have two horns, which is normal, but they're big horns. This is a powerful animal. And as Daniel watches, he notices that the one horn is higher than the other. But the higher one, or the stronger one, we might say, came up last. And no one can withstand the onslaught of this ram or deliver others from his power. In just 10 years, Cyrus the Persian conquered the then known world. His progress was irresistible. And remember something else. God referred to Cyrus as my shepherd in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 28. Now, history tells us that the guardian spirit of the Persian kingdom was depicted as a ram with clean feet and sharp pointed horns. When the Persian kings went out to battle, they went before their troops carrying not a crown of jewels, like many other kings did, but an image of a ram's head. And the Persian soldiers often wore ram's horns on their helmets. This ram, as Daniel watches, pushes toward the west, the north, and the south. Why doesn't the ram push toward the east? Well, because the ram is coming from the east. The eastern border of the Persian Empire was near the modern-day country of India. In verse 20 of our text, Gabriel informs Daniel that the ram with two horns is the empire of the Medes and the Persians. So it makes sense that one horn represents Media and the other represents Persia. Again, we know from history that the empire of Persia was newer than the empire of Media, but it eventually became the more prominent and more powerful of the two. What Daniel's vision pictures is an irresistible, advancing Persian army, especially in the direction of Palestine, Asia Minor, that's modern-day Turkey, and Egypt. And this leads us to the next kingdom, the Kingdom of Greece. As this ram, the Medo-Persian Empire, is advancing, Daniel sees another animal, a male goat, coming from the west, and he covers the whole earth as he comes. This goat represents the Third World Empire and corresponds to the trunk and legs of brass in Nebuchadnezzar's dream from chapter 2, and then the leopard with four wings from Daniel's vision in chapter 7. Daniel's description of the goat includes a couple of unique things. First, the goat advances without appearing to touch the ground. That must signify the incredible speed of his advance. In addition, he has a notable horn, a very unusual horn. It's between his eyes. This isn't a normal goat. It looks more like a unicorn. And then as Daniel watches, this unusual goat charges the ram with the two horns with the full fury of his power. The King James Version says the goat was moved with choler against the ram, and newer versions use the word rage. The Old English word choler is interesting. It's a reference to bile, a bitter fluid that's secreted by the liver. The Apostle Paul said to Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8 and verse 23, I perceive that you are in the gall or bile of bitterness, in the bond of iniquity. So this male goat is filled with an uncontrollable rage. He charges the ram that represents the empire of the Medes and Persians. He charges that ram in all of his fury. And the goat's overpowering charge breaks the horns of the ram, and he's left without defense. He's unable to stand before the onslaught of this male goat. And so the ram is overthrown, and he's trampled under the feet of the goat. It comes to a violent end, and there's nothing or anyone who can deliver the ram from the fury of the goat. Now, we don't have to wonder about what this means, because again, Gabriel interprets for Daniel and for us. Gabriel tells us later in the chapter that the goat represents the kingdom of Greece. Most expositors identify the single horn as illustrating the dominant leadership of Alexander the Great. Part of the hatred and rage that's expressed in this text comes from the fact that the Persian Empire had previously attacked Greece. Both Darius and his son Xerxes had conquered some of the Greek city-states and made slaves of the people who lived in them. Now it's time for Greek payback. You know something? All of this has been fulfilled dramatically in history. Alexander's lightning conquest of the Persian Empire is well documented. Beginning in May of 334 BC in Asia Minor, Alexander's forces moved rapidly to subdue the Persians, and they finally triumphed in October of 331 BC. Because Daniel's prophecy is so detailed, liberal critics have claimed that Daniel was writing history instead of prophecy. But you know something? God has no problem foretelling the future, because he planned it and he controls it. Now, verse 8 describes how after the goat became very powerful, his large horn was broken. Greece had barely reached the peak of its power when Alexander died. He was only 33. Here was a type of the coming Antichrist, a man possessed of a brilliant intellect and consumed with demonic rage. He set up a power structure in Israel that established Greek rule and the worship of Greek gods. He set the stage for the little horn that appears in verse 9. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like an audio CD or a printed copy of this teaching, just write and request it by its title, Kingdoms in Succession. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Kingdoms in Succession. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, Kingdoms in Succession. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website, twr360.org. Thousands are logging on to the site for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, Kingdoms in Succession, from Daniel chapter 8. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.